Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Huge story coming out of D.C. The president looked furious today when he held a press conference. Gun control rejected, a huge blow to the administration, to the White House, certainly. He was surrounded by families, a few of them anyway, from Newtown, Connecticut. Also, Gabby Giffords, a former congresswoman from Arizona, was there, and VP Joe Biden. A handful of Democrats voted against it. And what happened with the Republicans? Jeff Holtzman from Talk Radio News, one of our faves, joins us now. Jeff, this was, I think, the story coming out of D.C. The president, as I said, looked furious. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's a big story, Kate, because I think the Senate, as well as the president himself, really believed that they had the votes to pass the background check bill that was put together by Pat Toomey, the Republican, and Joe Manchin, the Democrat. Usually, you don't see Harry Reid, the Senate leader, schedule votes on really high-profile legislation unless he thinks that he either got the votes or is pretty darn close. But in this case, they failed by six votes. Five, really. Harry Reid voted against it for procedural reasons so he could bring the bill up later. But it's not really certain whether or not that will happen. A lot of folks speculate that sweeping gun legislation is effectively dead now, given the fact that today's vote went the way it did. It wasn't just the background check proposal that got defeated either, Kate. It was a federal reinstation of the assault weapons ban that went down 60-40. There was a bill that would have cut down on gun traffickers. Gun trafficking is not even really a federal crime at this point in time, and this was a bill that would have addressed that, and that went down as well. A couple of Republican proposals went down as well, too. There was one that would have allowed states to recognize other states that have concealed carry permit laws, reciprocity, as it's known in the gun community. But nonetheless, none of those measures passed, and I think that Harry Reid has actually pulled the rest of the gun bill from the floor, thereby ending debate on it.
Wow. So was this a surprise or no, based on what we were hearing really coming from the Republicans, coming out of many of the Republicans?
It wasn't a complete shock, Kate. I think that when Harry Reid and the Senate voted last week to begin debate on the bill, and the two senators, Pat Toomey and Joe Manchin, introduced their background check proposal, there was the thinking that it was going to be tough, but that it would be really, really close. But what happened essentially was, I mean, they couldn't get enough Republicans. I mean, they got three Republicans, I think, Pat Toomey, Susan Collins from Maine, and John McCain from Arizona. But they lost a handful of Democrats, Mark Pryor, Mark Begich, and Heidi Heitkamp. These are all Democrats in pretty conservative states, and two of them are up for reelection next year, and they didn't want to be branded as being anti-Second Amendment. So that's kind of how it went down. And, of course, there was a lot of pressure on the Senate today. I mean, normally when you take votes, you don't really have the eyes of the world watching, but that's what happened today. People were watching, and not only, you know, ordinary people, but the families of some of the victims of the latest gun tragedies were actually in the Senate chamber. You had family members of those who died in Newtown, those who died in Aurora, Colorado. There was even a lady who was caught in the middle of the Gabby Giffords shooting in Tucson. She helped disarm the shooter in that case. And she actually yelled, "Shame on you," after the Senate vote was tallied. So there were a lot of eyes on this one, and no doubt it was a tough vote for each and every senator who took it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so let's move on to something else, because this is huge. Of course, as you know, Boston Marathon. Jeff, I had a couple of friends that were running it. Thanks goodness they were fine. But not fine is all the developments we're starting to see unfold. And really, everyone in America wants to know who did it, let's face it, and let's get them. What do we know?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't know too much right now. Mm-hmm. There was some confusion this afternoon. CNN reported that the federal law enforcement officials had made an arrest in the case and were going to hold a press conference to announce details on that. But that information was quickly knocked down. The Boston Police Department put out a statement minutes later saying that they did not have anybody that they had charged, and they certainly hadn't made any arrests. What we know with 99.9% accuracy right now is that they do have a suspect, not in custody, but someone that they've identified through video surveillance footage of the of the scene on Monday, and somebody that they're actively pursuing. We don't have many details on the person, you know, the person's gender, the person's nationality, and so on and so forth. But it looks like officials have a lead. So we're sort of staying tuned for more details on that. There was supposed to be a press conference this evening that got canceled, and it's unclear if it got canceled because of a lack of detail, or there was a bomb threat called in actually to one of the Boston courthouses this afternoon that scared a lot of people. It turned out to be a prank, but with a situation like this where it's developing, you can't take enough security measures and enough precaution, and so officials canceled that press conference. So we're going to have to sort of wait and see on this one.
Yeah. All right. Immigration Gang of Eight. Any movement there?
Well, there's certainly a lot of movement. The senators finally unveiled their bill. They filed it last night, which irked a lot of critics, who said that, you know, the Senate is trying to rush the bill through the, you know, through Congress in the midnight hour. But the bill is online today. Everybody got a chance to take a look at it. And there's a lot of, there are a lot of details to it. It's a big bill. It's almost 900 pages long. The main tenets of it are, the senators say that it would address border security. It would essentially force the government to put a six-month plan into place where they could figure out a way to secure the border at a 90% rate of effect. That plan would have to be approved after 6 months. And after that period of time, then all the immigrants who are in this country illegally, they're estimated to be anywhere between 11 and 15 million, would be able to apply for temporary legal status if they have otherwise clean records and if they pay a fee and if they, you know, pay back taxes and if they're deemed to not be a burden on the state, so on and so forth. And also if they came to this country before the end of 2011, that's a big one too. So the senators are trying to really get out in front and say this is not amnesty. This is, you know, conditional legal status, you know, that's tied to how secure the border gets. There are a lot of details on the plan. I'd urge you and your listeners to check out my write-up of the plan on our website at talkradionews.com. I put together a little sort of comparison between what the senators are saying about their plan and what critics are saying about their plan, so you can go read and decide for yourself.
Yeah. So would you classify this as someone who's covered Washington now for at least a few years, watching what's going on with immigration, watching what's happening, waiting for the Supreme Court big decisions to come down in June? I mean, this is really kind of crazy time these next couple of months, isn't it? Does it feel like that?
What it feels like is that there are a lot of things that the Senate has to work on because they've committed to it, whether it was a product of the election, in which case I think immigration reform is certainly a product of the election. You know, Republicans talked about the need to finally get on board and do something legislatively, and here we are. And gun control, which is a product of, you know, the string of mass shootings that have happened in recent months. And it's all sort of conflated into the same, you know, working period for these lawmakers. And it's a lot for them to handle. I mean, it's hard enough for Congress to come together and, you know, pass continuing resolutions to fund the government, let alone pass something really, really big. But this is their window of opportunity as they see it. I mean, the way it works in Washington is you've got to strike while the iron is hot. And that's the way they look at these big issues. Whether we're actually going to get something in the long run remains to be seen. But, you know, they're certainly going to try in the next 3 or 4 weeks before their next recess.
All right, we'll see. Jeff Holtzman, thanks so much.
All right, Kate, thanks.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, April 16, 2013. Gold opened this morning at $1,392.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,428.92, $714.46 for a half ounce, or $357.23 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,428.92, $714.46, and $357.23.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase, and there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Not too far from where actually our satellite facility is. We're talking about 60, maybe 70 people dead, they're saying. Fertilizer plant in West Texas. That's the name of the town, West, a place I'm very familiar with. If you live in Dallas or you've been through Dallas, there's a place called the Check Stop. It's been featured all over the place in travel magazines and whatnot for all the pastries and stuff, and people stop there and eat anyway. That's how West is on the map, and they are saying that there's these two large explosions and just a ball of fire all over the place at this fertilizer plant. Lots of injuries and maybe 60 to 70 people dead. It's unbelievable. I wanted you to hear what this sounded like. It happened shortly before 8 o'clock Central Time.
I mean, it seemed like there was probably a couple of explosions. It sounded like it was just a huge boom. I mean, it knocked me down. My house and the house my mother lives in belongs to me next door. She lives in, and it was, you can't even walk through, can't even get into the doors. The doors and windows are blew out.
All the ceilings out, the windows are out, the bricks knocked off the house. My big garage out back's half blowed in. I was watching TV, and all of a sudden my house, boom, I thought we had a gas leak or something, blew the house down.
Yeah, so that's what people are saying. They're feeling it in their houses, and those are the lucky people that are surviving what is a catastrophic event, obviously. It's a fertilizer plant, so this massive explosion with the evacuation of 2,600 people, and that might be some erroneous reporting. The 60 to 70, I have calls out to lots of different people, and nobody is backing that up. We know at least two people are dead. You heard the people there talking, went off like a bomb. Man, major, major evacuation, major event, obviously, in Texas. And the governor talking about that he believes some of these numbers, that it could be true. They have EMS people who responded that have died. They have firefighters that died in trying to do what they could, at least five of those. Just a massive fireball leveling houses within a two-block radius, so you have to figure that. A lot of people streaming into hospitals in Waco with cuts and bruises and everything else that you can imagine. And to give you an idea, as I said, it's a town that is probably about 2 hours outside of Dallas that we're talking about. And this fertilizer plant is just north of Waco. It's the town of West, a school, a nursing home. That's some of the buildings that were hit that were close to that, that were very, very close to that that plant. And just, again, a massive, massive explosion. And then what is ultimately released, that you have to think fertilizer and you have to think pretty pungent gas with some awful fumes, almost a suffocating like fume, because that's used as fertilizer. And we know how explosive fertilizer is. So it was some kind of accident at the plant or whatever. There's not even a lot of conversation about that. More about how many people, what is the true death toll? Is that 60 to 70 erroneous, or because of the amount of places that were flattened, is it closer to what the real numbers are? But again, just absolutely unbelievable. Anything that we get on this, of course, we'll give it to all of you here on America Tonight. So, you know, we see what happened at the Boston Marathon, and then this incident in Texas, which they're not related, but the fact that you have two blasts and again, a catastrophic event, two different kinds of things. But in 1 week, here we go. It's been a rough week. And now they're talking about the possible suspects, you know, because everybody, not just in Boston, but all of us, we're out for blood, man. Let's face it. We want answers as to what happened in Boston and who done it. Who can we hang up, so to speak, in the town square for doing this? Because 180 people injured, all the people that left that were runners without limbs, the kids that were hurt. I mean, you know the saga already. You've seen the horrific photos. We've talked about it here on the show. We've had people on to talk about it. And now it's about finding the person or persons who did it. It was moments before the bombs went off in Boston. They have a couple of guys that they think could be possible suspects. I know from my own source at the Pentagon, they're circulating this all over the place. I don't think it's a secret now at this point. But the photos have really been just jettisoned out every place they could possibly think to try to identify who it is. Maybe somebody can come up with seeing a similar person or the guys or whatever. One of the guys has a black backpack, and they think the bombs were inside that black backpack or bag. So they haven't identified by name, but they're releasing to agencies the photos. They want to be able to try to get them. They don't want to release it so much to the public. In the one video, they have a guy who wore a white baseball cap. The cap was on backwards. The man was wearing a light color hooded sweatshirt and a black jacket. Was he part of it or not? There's just something that has set off alarm bells with some people who have looked at the photographs. And then there's been all of this reporting that there's somebody in custody, but I tracked that down twice, three times, probably four times during the day, and the FBI is certainly denying that any arrests have been made, and not just the FBI, but all around Washington, they're saying, no, that's just simply not true. They feel as though they're getting closer to cracking the case every single hour because so many people are working on it, and they don't want to release any information until they get the whole full picture. They're not going to release little tidbits of things, and we do know this, pressure cookers, that's what it was, in the backpack, and fragments of nails and ball bearings, and the ball bearings especially so deadly, cutting so many people. and they found the lid. They think they found the lid of the pressure cooker. I mean, this is all that interesting stuff of forensically trying to tie this together. The lid of the pressure cooker that was that they believe was part of the device that blew up was found on a rooftop. And the second bomb, which was also in a metal container, but they don't know if it was in a pressure cooker or not. But see, that way you could pack all of that so tightly, then detonate it. So it makes sense that's what they're finding there. And this is nothing new. This has been used in the Middle East a lot, and it's been used in other bombs as well. It's stuff that we've talked about that you can piece together pretty easily. You know, we're talking about each of them was about 6 liters, so 1.6 gallons, if you wanted to think of how it was volume-wise. And they found the circuit board and all that stuff we know now. But the thing that we're closer to at this point, halfway through the week, is that there may actually be suspects that they're closer to nailing with all these clues. And, yes, a lot of what we've seen in this bombing could be tied to what we've seen before with Al-Qaeda or some other Middle East terror group. But domestic groups are copycats and are doing similar things. And we saw it in the Atlanta Summer Olympic Games and jumped to all kinds of conclusions as to what that was. So they've identified also the third student, the graduate student, Lingza Liu. She died in the bombings as well. Crystal Campbell, 29. Martin Richard, the little boy that was there for his father, 8 years old, and now the third person. And, man, like I said, there's anyone I've talked to that is just not out for blood after what happened in Boston, when people are talking about this is exactly what people are hoping for. That somehow, some way, somebody's taken down for this. And many people responding to people in Boston is there's been charities set up for the families. And I love the best, my favorite thing that's happened so far is the singing of Sweet Caroline, which has kind of become the anthem for the Red Sox. And it's been sung not just for the Yankees, but all over in ballparks, all over the country, and sort of a little tribute to the folks in Boston who just went through this horrific thing with the Boston Marathon. Stay with us, much more to come in this hour of America Tonight.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
Start life over. Spend more quality time with your family. Take more vacations. Own your own business. Be healthy and earn the kind of income you've always dreamed of. Is it possible? Yes, with Youngevity. First, you've got to see the video that is turning the medical industry upside down. Go to HealthyBody13.com. That's HealthyBody13.com. Watch this video, then pre-register for the Spring Longevity Convention May 2nd through 4th in Las Vegas, Nevada. And guess who will be there?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And I prescribe the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, I'm Steve Schultz, Vice President of Training here at Longevity. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'll be there.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, President of the Genesis Communications Network. I'm taking the Healthy Body Challenge, and I'm going to be there.
Take the Healthy Body Challenge and don't miss the Longevity Convention in Las Vegas, Nevada, May 2nd through 4th. For more information, go to HealthyBody13.com or call 1-800-360-8695. That's 800-360-8695.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes, revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Called the blunder of the day. I'm renaming officially this segment here on America Tonight. I think a couple big blunders, one of them I already mentioned, and I'm going to go back to it in a second. And of course, throughout the show, we're talking about a couple of things. The leap to jump in and hurry up and grab suspects. As I said, we're out for blood. We want these people, absolutely. But constantly reporting things that are false with no backup. And listen, if you're the person on the beat talking to the FBI, talking to Homeland Security, talking to local cops, then you gotta know, because you're not, otherwise you're like a tabloid person just making stuff up for saucy headlines that make absolutely no sense. It's this race to be first, but to be inaccurate. So a lot of crazy things are coming out of Boston, as I already mentioned. The blunder of the day, a couple of things I couldn't even decide, but this one's good. Remember Anthony Weiner? Oh, the jokes. Oh, the jokes over Anthony Weiner, the former congressman from New York who really had a lot of people excited thinking he had a chance to run for president, but then he fell down the political suicide rabbit hole. Now he is turning things around and deciding that he might run for New York City mayor. Now, we might be able to forgive and forget. You think, you know, that walk of shame before the microphones that so many have taken. But Weiner was really a wuss. He tried to run from what he did. He didn't man up until he had to man up when Andrew Breitbart had him. And he had to say what was going on. So he was twisting and lying and ducking for cover, and I think that's the big problem. So NBC New York and the Marist poll got together, and they did this poll as to whether or not anybody would really elect Anthony Weiner as mayor. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, it didn't really fall in his favor. It's, you know, it could maybe mess up the Democratic primary contest if enough people decided that they were willing to forgive him. But so far, it's not looking that way. Somebody named Christine Quinn gets 26% of the vote. Anthony Weiner would get 15% of the vote, however. This is just in an unscientific poll. And then John Liu, 12%. Then it goes on from there. So after 2 years after resigning from his congressional seat because of the sexting scandal, this is what New Yorkers are saying and reacting. I'm surprised even 15%, because that really, if you think about it, that puts him in second place. I don't know, would you want Anthony Weiner after what a weasel he was when he held the congressional office? Would you really want him to be the mayor of your city? I got to say, what's wrong with New Yorkers that they would, you know, that they would think he's the guy that should run it? Am I being too harsh? All I remember is not so much about, okay, he sent parts of his body and he was working out in the gym and the congressional gym and he was chasing after a woman on Facebook and all this other stuff and his wife was about to burst with their first child. I mean, forget all that even. It's the lying and twisting of the facts and manipulating. It just reminds me of the worst thing about Bill Clinton. For all the things that Clinton did that actually were pretty decent, the thing that he did the worst was lie about the whole Monica Lewinsky thing. I mean, how many times, if he got royalties on that clip about I did not have sex with that woman, he'd be even richer than he is now. So to me, Anthony Weiner falls right into that category of covering up and, you know, doing crazy, salacious, nutball-y things, but never being truthful from the get-go once they had him. Once it's done, and it's just like John Edwards. John Edwards had a chance to come clean. He obviously had had a baby by a woman who was videotaping him on the campaign trail, and he tried to weasel his way around it until he just has no place to run, until his back is so far against the wall. And that's a character defect to me. I mean, that's just the typical talking out of both sides of your mouth. That's not, oh, hey, you got me. I messed up. I'm human, whatever. Boom. When somebody gets you, that's doing it when it's convenient, but still trying to figure out a way to weasel around it. I said the other blunders of the day was something I already mentioned at the top with Jeff Holtzman. The fact that we're talking about this immigration bill, you know, what happens is you'll have this bipartisan photo op. That's what I call it. It's the Washington, D.C. collector's edition of the bipartisan photo op. And it makes whoever look good on one side and whoever look good on the other side. And you get headlines for a couple of weeks. But then in reality, there really isn't a deal. So on immigration reform, what is so crazy is it's almost 900 pages to read. 900 pages. So think about that. Unless they've all taken Evelyn Wood's speed reading course with everything else that's happening, you know how long it would take to actually read that bill? It would take, if you have just nonstop reading, like you are cramming for an exam, 3 days before the Friday morning hearing. That's how long it would take to read this entire bill. Rand Paul, when he was running for the Senate, I remember him saying there needed to be reading times, that one of the things he would really push if he were elected was reading times for bills. And why is that? Because you have people voting on bills that could become potentially laws that really don't understand what the whole bill is about. in a different way, it's kind of like when you get overwhelmed with paperwork. I think the worst couple of words strung together that anybody ever says to anyone else, oh, it's just the normal thing. Just sign here on the dotted line, then sign over here, then give me your initials, then sign here. And you know where that happens, apartment leases or when you're getting a house and there's a million closing documents. Oh, it's just the normal thing. But really, if you don't read through it, do you realize what you're signing? And the answer is no, but people sign it because they want to get to the champagne celebration and they got the house and that's all they wanted, so they're not paying attention to the paperwork. But here we're talking about affecting your life and mine by creating this pathway to citizenship and not reading it. With the person's average reading, they couldn't do it. I mean, we're talking about nonstop. You wouldn't even be able to sleep, eat anything, brush your teeth. I mean, come on. And it's easy to figure that out. But how many times have people that we elected voted on bills that become laws that have wreaked havoc with your life and mine because they didn't even know it was in the bill? I can give you the glaring example. Remember Affordable Health Care, a.k.a. Obamacare. How about the stimulus? How about that one? How about the fiscal cliff deal? Oh, and the list goes on and on, but we know it. Nobody could possibly read them. It's not human. Can't do it. You'd have nothing else happening. Everything else that you're involved in would just come to a standstill. So it's not possible. And I think that says something awful about voting on a big piece of legislation that could really change a lot of people's lives, including people involved in the law enforcement side of it. And to me, it's a big no-no, a very big no-no. To me, it is the blunder of the day, along with Anthony Weiner, of course, talking about politics here, trying to run possibly for mayor, and he wants to do it, running for mayor of New York City. I mean, really, do the people want a double dip of Weiner? I mean, seriously, come on. The guy, once he's backed into a corner, will come up with whatever is convenient for him to say that makes him electable. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, boy, I feel like we really barely scratched the surface here in this hour, talking about a couple of things in a couple of different directions. It's that way as we head into Thursday here on ATN. Like I said, so many things happening. What about the ricin scare that rattled Washington, D.C. somewhat? There's actually been an arrest made, and it's a Mississippi guy. So you have to remember, where was this directed to? And it was directed to a Mississippi senator, Senator Wicker, and they finally arrested somebody, and pretty quickly, who sent the contaminated letters. They were able to snap him up in Corinth, Mississippi. So how about that? What was this about? Was this about somebody being disgruntled because of something his representative had done? I mean, what's the motive? This is, you know, what's the motive for this, to send this kind of a letter where you could kill someone because there's no antidote to this once you've been poisoned? And it's serious poison, serious, serious poison. So they're even shutting down that mail facility. They had to shut it down to make sure everything was squared away, worried about contamination with other things that were being delivered, rather, to the Capitol. Hang with us. We're booting it to the other side.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Hello, I'm Pastor Broden. The First Amendment is made up of five platforms that are designed to limit government and protect our liberties. Our founding fathers covered in the First Amendment the right to religious liberty, restriction on federal government's interference in our religious liberty, our right to free speech, and the right to a free press. The fifth platform in the First Amendment is the answer to our government operating in an unconstitutional way, the right to peaceably assemble and petition redress for grievances. Redress means to set right, to amend. It is a remedy for a wrong or an ill perpetrated against we the people. To nullify unconstitutional law or executive orders, we must petition redress. Sign our petition for redress at c.x.com. That's c.dot.x.com. Redress equals solution.
Welcome back to the final turn here on America Tonight. You know, the Rolling Stones It's funny watching them peter out there. They never stop. I mean, it's like they have 20 lives. They're going back on tour again, I heard. Wonder how many people would pony up like $125 to go and see the Rolling Stones at, I'm thinking, 70. I don't know how old they are. It's got to be late 60s, 70. Not sure. But are they lip-syncing or is it real? I don't know. Lip-syncing anymore when you're playing a big venue, I think it can be a little bit risky. All right, to re-rack some of the stuff that we already went down the road with, is progress but no arrests so far in Boston. They're gaining ground is what's being released, but if I'm the governor, Deval Patrick, and everybody is calling me every 5 seconds and asking me, do you know what happened? Is anything going on? So, of course, I'm going to say, yeah, we're getting closer. I was just talking, in fact, to, not that I'm calling him a liar, but I think that the pressure to come up with names or a name or a connection is absolutely overwhelming. Now, what's interesting is, one quick side note to this, since we've all become mini detectives watching CSI and the numerous other shows, NCIS, that are out there, you know, it's like they spawn off all these spin-offs, and it's the same thing using forensic science and tracing certain things and serial numbers and whatever. So it's a given, any material that was found, the FBI, it's a layup, they're tracing it. And this Northern California battery company is saying they think a battery they manufactured was used in the bombing based on what they saw at the crime scene. They think that one of their, what they call nickel metal hydride batteries was used to make those bombs. And because they could see from what they were seeing in the pictures and whatnot. So they got ahead of this and released a statement saying their hearts go out to the people and they're horrified and appalled that their off-the-shelf product would be used that way. But they say that the 1.25-volt battery is sold in stores all over the place and it's used for toys and radio-controlled cars and trucks. So it makes sense. And they say they've sold tens of thousands of that battery in the past year. So it goes to what we were talking about in our last show and what we now have seen, that this is stuff that anybody could have put together to make this bomb, which is even more depressing, I guess, in a sense that, yeah, go to Home Depot, pull this stuff together, and you've got the powder, you have the pressure cooker, and this is a common type of bomb that's been used all over the Middle East and frankly, in other spots of the world, too. So that's why they recognize their battery, saying that probably had to be what it was based on some of the things that they saw. Wow. Just looking at some of the, you know, being able to look at some of the pictures and tell that is, I'll tell you, it's frightening to me. Also on this final turn, we're talking about the politics of politics and who's in and who's out. The gun bill, boom, down anyway when it comes to the background checks, which is what I thought would be a layup. I must have said that 100 times on this show. In the very beginning, it seemed like this would be an easy thing to get through, that there was bipartisan support. But then it always comes down to what truly are we saying about background checks. And they even tried to back up on the checks and say, well, wait a second. If you're going to sell a gun to someone in your family, an acquaintance, well, then forget the background check thing, because people were up in arms about it. And that's the problem, always the vagueness of not being very specific. It's less is more. Here's what it is. Here's what it does. Here's what we've had in the past. This is why this works or whatever. Instead, there was too much, really, I think, jammed into it. And the vote went down 54 to 46. You need the majority, the supermajority of 60 votes to pass. And what seemed like, or they thought was going to be an easy call, fell short. It didn't go through. And I think that the president and I think the White House really believed after what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, and all the lobbying for this and pushing for this, because the president was definitely pushing for this, This is part of the State of the Union address, after all, back in January, and promise that, you know, we're going to get it, we're demanding it, and this is going to happen. So it came down to the politics of politics, that the minority of what they're saying is the minority of gun owners, they were afraid some of the Democrats who didn't vote for it, where they would lose their office because they voted in the wrong direction. But I think it's more about some of the broader implications and some of the snafus that we've seen along the way. If you're going to try to take something that is so sensitive and so polarizing in this country, you have got to have every single one of your ducks in a row. And they weren't there. They were swimming in opposite directions. And the further away and month after month after month that went by, I think this was the setback, really, more than anything, is because there was no spillover here. I mean, there was absolutely no spillover. Republican Senator John Cornyn from Texas said, and, you know, he's no fan of Obama's, said that the vote was a fight over the Second Amendment. And his quote was, "I wouldn't think it has any broader implications. No spillover effect on immigration or anything else. It's just simply, this is it. This was the gun issue." And Congress, I guess now at this point, it's starting to take a shellacking on, let's pour into, that's why John Cornyn's saying that, let's pour this into everything else and see if we never get any bipartisan cooperation. But I say it was because so much of this, too much of this was just too vague. And they never, honestly, how do you talk to a gun owner? How do you talk to a gun owner when you're an anti-gun legislator? How do you convince them that it's going to be okay and it's not a slippery slope and don't worry because we're not going to do that? This is one little thing and this is the reason why. And we think we can have a good impact here. There was no trust in any of this. It was never sold right because it wasn't sold right and there were things that were pulled out of it. I think this is the reason why, and the idea that some people realize there's no way they would be reelected. It just hit too close to home. And I keep hearing this statistic that 9 out of 10 Americans are not for gun control or are for gun control. They keep getting it wrong. So do you think that statistic is true? 1/3 of Americans own guns. So you tell me, which way is it?
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.